Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Board Gamers Anonymous, the podcast of board gamers and the insane fun we have at the table together. This is Chris.
Hey, and this is Anthony.
And this is episode 501, our listeners' top 100 games of all time. We'd like to thank our Patreon backers for helping us bring you the top 100 games of all time.
Again. The actual list, the real one.
The real one, the important one.
Yeah. The objective one. The last 10 weeks have been very subjective.
Oof, that was a run.
Yeah, I know. I had somebody ask me like a couple days ago, like, oh, what game are you going to review next? And I'm like, game review? What is that? We haven't done that in like 3 months. I don't know. I have a giant list, actually. Like, I've actually played a bunch of games in the last 3 months. I got to get on it.
No! Top 100 list again!
Woo! Top 100 games that start with B!
There you go. I mean, we've played games since, so our list might slightly change.
That is true. There are at least two games that I probably would add to the list next time we do it.
So. Same. Yeah, I think some new releases were quite good. So yeah. Might see a slight variation, but I don't think that episode happens until, what, episode 1000? I don't...
Oh, we're going to hold it for 10 years now.
Well, okay. I don't... Look, we hit episode 500. I don't know what to do anymore. The world's different. I'm different. 501? I don't know, man. Like, what's after 500? Like, I don't...
Nothing. Look at the Dice Tower. They just kind of petered out 100 episodes later. Like, I guess we're done.
Just like, once you hit the big five and the zeros, like, what does it all mean? Like...
I don't even know. We're just going to do stuff.
I guess, like...
And it'll be good. It'll be good stuff. You should keep listening. It's good stuff.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. No, we got our listeners top 100 this week. Next week, we got a couple listeners coming on who have their own podcasts. They're going to be joining us. That'll be cool.
There's another podcast?
Yeah.
No way.
Started by our listeners, which is really cool.
All right. That is some quality stuff. I appreciate that.
It's going to be awesome. PAX is in a month.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that.
I guess there's some things.
Yeah. It's stuff. Games are still coming out.
So the sun will come out tomorrow?
Theoretically, yes.
Theoretically. I don't like theoretically that situation.
It's the world we live in, man. It's all theoretical at this point.
I mean, it was 80 degrees in New York City a couple of days ago in November, so.
Same here, man. I think it was like the whole Northeast. It was not good.
Just like, does anyone see this as a problem? I feel like it should be a problem.
I was sitting on the porch with my daughter, and there was like bees swarming around on the porch. And they wouldn't leave us alone, probably because they were like, why am I awake? Why am I alive?
They're like, you did this. You people did this. You're like, yeah.
I mean, tomatoes started blooming. It's like November. They're dead. They shouldn't bloom. What's happening?
Nope. If only there was a board game that would teach the world about this, but I think there's several now at this point.
Yeah, if only people would play those board games, right?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
So we always talk about themes that people want to play, but are there themes that actually turn people off, other than the obvious ones, right? Like, there's the obvious ones.
I think there are. Yeah. Oh. I bring games to class for my students, mm-hmm. and there are certain themes that were like, we're playing a game today for fun. And they're like, nah, it doesn't seem interesting. Like, what? It's schoolwork. I could just make you write something.
That's true. I always tell people too, like, there's a game for everything. And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh no, there's a literally game for that. Everything. And the game for that, whatever they name, there's a game for that. So,
yeah.
I mean, I've always been overly concerned that people won't play Rococo because it's a game about a very fancy period of time where people are wearing fancy dresses and fancy jewelry.
Isn't there a sequel to that coming out that's like baking but in fancy dresses?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's a smaller version of it, so I'm hoping that it's not a lesser, you know, kind of game like what they did with Lacerda.
Sure.
So we'll see. Hopefully it's not a Mercado kind of thing, but
yeah.
Again, everybody wants to find that infinitely brandable and repetitive kind of mechanic that they can just monopolize it to the end of the earth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. They all look at Rosenberg and like, well, he pulled Patchwork out of A Feast for Odin, and now he makes a ton of money off of Patchwork.
Just that alone. Everybody wants to have just that one game that they can just infinitely replicate. Or Boop. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Halloween, there's a Christmas, there's, you know, every Halloween. It's going to be Booped. Or Let's Travel. Let's Travel's gotten multiple things.
Let's Travel series, for sure.
And I think one of our favorite games, Rebuilding Seattle, is getting Rebuilding Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
Which seems like I get it, but also I think there's other cities who have been more interestingly devastated and rebuilt. I don't know how to say that comment, but there are.
Well, it's hard, though, because it has to be relatively recent.
Okay.
But not so recent that it's insensitive. Like, you couldn't have, like, Rebuilding New Orleans. That's too recent. Like, that's not okay. But Chicago, like, well, that was like 150 years ago. It's fine.
Sure. I guess. Comedy is pain plus time or something?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. It's, we need enough time for it to be funny. But if it's too long, they're like, well, it's too abstract now. Like, Rebuilding Rome? I don't know.
Lisboa was a game, right? Lisboa was that all about
great.
That.
Yeah. That's a good example.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's things happening. There's things unhappening and then being rebuilt for some reason. So yeah, that's the thing. I still don't know what the future will bring, but we're at a very good episode, Anthony. We love these episodes, and especially since it's its own very own super deluxe, crazy, kickstarted, crowdfunded list of top 100 games. Now our listeners are going to tell us. They're going to be like, bro, come on, bro.
These are the games.
These are the games. Ones. Nice.
Here are the 40 to 60 games you guys didn't even put on your list.
Yeah, nice to listen to your list. Now listen to the list.
Yes.
So a big shout out and a big thank you to all of you, hundreds of you who did participate and let us know your top 100.
It's literally my favorite thing to do every year is I get, like, at the end of the contest, I go into the spreadsheet and I just get to, like, look at all of the submissions. There was nearly 1,000 unique submissions this year.
That's wonderful.
Several hundred people who submitted. And I was just like, this is so cool. I'm a data guy. Like, I'm a writer. I'm a writer, but I also love me some numbers. And so it's just fun to play with spreadsheets.
He's crunching.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell people that. And they're like, fun to play with spreadsheets. I'm like, yeah, it's fun to play with spreadsheets. People pay me to do it. It's fun.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. So, no, it was really cool. And I got to put this list together. And we'll run through how we built it in a moment. But it was great. And again, everybody who submitted, thank you so much. I would say 98% of people entered the contest. Some of you forgot to give me your email address or your name. So
no,
you were not entered into the contest, unfortunately, because there's no way to contact you if you won. But to everybody else who did enter, it was fantastic and really enjoyed reading through your lists.
How many designers you think just went on this and were just like, my game? Because that's
I don't know.
It's probably the ones who didn't put their emails out there. It's probably a lot of Uves up there, Felds up there. Vitella Certa's like, I got to move my Lisboa up the list.
Those cheaters. I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Look, they listen. They love. We get it. It makes sense.
I should read through the list and see if there's anybody in here I know. Like, hey, get off the list, Uwe Rosenberg. We love your games. It's fine.
You never know. It could happen. Yeah. You could have a Tom Vassell in there. That could have happened. Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, it was awesome. So real quickly, before we move on to the list, three winners. Whoa. I want to announce them real quickly here.
Me? Me?
No.
Me, myself, and I?
Sorry.
Ah.
I know.
I never win a game.
Yeah. No, sorry. We have three winners, though. And again, you're going to win one of the games from this list.
You keep saying you, and you're only pointing at me. You know that, right?
It's the metaphorical you. Ah. It's the royal you. all of yous out there.
Yous. Okay.
Yeah. Yins. We'll go Pittsburgh.
You're yins. I'm yous. New York.
Yeah. Well, I'm Philly now. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be now. Right. But winners. We have Mark Cicino. And again, apologies if I say your name wrong. Matthew Azelius and Nathan Carl. Okay. So those are our three winners. All submitted their top 10. Fantastic top 10s. Thank you, all three of you. I will be reaching out to you individually via the email address that you submitted. So if you hear this and you have not seen that, check your inbox, check your spam. We will be figuring out what game you want and get that off to you.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody, for submitting. It makes a big difference. We love hearing from our friends out there. It makes our days. It really does. Like, there's nothing better for me. And every once in a while, we get an email from somebody out there just listening. And it's all the kinds of fun. Because Anthony and I do this kind of in a vacuum. Because I look at Anthony, Anthony looks at me. He's pointing at me and saying I'm getting free games. And then turns out I'm not. So I'm quite disappointed. But it's so nice to know that thousands and thousands of you are listening. And so many of you watched us on YouTube, which was nice. It's kind of a throwback to the old days of BGA Live. So, yeah. Again, appreciate it. We have a great list. I think you're going to love it, to be fair. But Anthony, before we get into the super deluxe, fancy, crowdfunded list, let's talk about some of the things that we're doing that's upcoming.
Yeah, so two big things we want to talk about. One, we've mentioned before, and that is we're coming to PAX Unplugged in less than a month, 3.5 weeks from now. Just crazy. Every year, I'm like, how is that happening so soon?
Hometown Philly's back again.
I love it. So we're going to be there all 3 days. Definitely reach out if you're going to be there and want to touch base. But we're also going to be presenting at two panels. So you can join us. Mm-hmm. And these are up on the schedule on PAXUnplugged.com. So, or it's not even PAXUnplugged.com. It's just PAX site something, whatever. The website. Find the website. They have a terrible URL.
Yeah.
But they're on the schedule. On Saturday, we're going to be presenting on tabletop games and how they can be used in teaching. So we'll be talking about the use of, like, using them in the classroom as well as in the counseling center. Will be joining us. And Chris will be talking about career development.
Mm-hmm.
So games and all the different ways that they can kind of make up parts of our lives. It's very fun. The second panel will be on Sunday at 4 o'clock, and this is Role for Inclusion, Empowering Accessible Tabletop Gaming. And this is Chris, you are going to be leading a big old crew of people.
Yes.
To talk about accessibility and all the good stuff that comes in gaming.
Yeah. If you ever wanted to know how to bring literally everyone to the table, I am bringing literally everyone to the panel to tell you. So if there's gamers out there who have not gotten to the table, or if you're trying to include more gamers, because you can never have enough gamers, there's always a need for a higher player count or more games. This is the panel for you, because these people are experts in bringing that together. So I'm happy to host it, happy to talk about my expertise, more or less. But again, these people have done extraordinary things and brought extraordinary games to the table. So really happy to be a part of it. It should be a tremendous time, a really great way to kind of wrap up your PAX Unplugged. And then, like Anthony said, the three of us doing our best work as far as taking games to the next level. And for a lot of us out there, I mean, let me just a little promo here, Anthony, because I think everyone understands, like, games in the classroom. Now more than ever, people are trying to figure out what career or vocation they may really want to have, like, what works for them. And from a purely return on investment financial aspect, you want to be in the career and with the right people. And I've been doing this for 20 years of helping people identify their passions, their missions, and their values and their expertise, and putting them in a place where they're going to spend their 40 hours a week in work, but it's in work where the people there are just like them and they're doing the thing that they love to do the most. And surprisingly enough, you can find that out. You can interpret that through tabletop gaming, and I'll help everybody kind of figure that out as far as what they can do with other people at the table. Because I have to say, even in my own expertise, Anthony mentioned spreadsheets and data, despite being a writer, I was psychology architecture at one point too, but I discovered a lot about myself through tabletop gaming and other careers. I never thought logistics would be a thing I would do. And now, like, when I play a game that includes logistics, or I look at logistics careers, then I'm like, could have been, could have done that, could have done some of those things.
Right.
And that was from tabletop gaming. I never thought that would be a thing. And now I'm just like, sure, ship and deliver, I'm on it. Like, you know, make the most with the least, be able to be as efficient as possible. I never knew I had that in me. And playing tabletop games has shown me that. So if I would have done that when I was a kid, I might have chosen a different career path that might have been even a better fit than I know today. So there's a lot of good things with these panels, presentations. Please come to ours, but don't miss any of the others. I think a lot of times when people come to conventions, they're like, you know, tabletop games. Like, yes, the vendors are there, the games are there, but take a look at all the panels. There might be something that piques your interest, and it has a lot of value to you long term.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it'll be fun.
All right. What else, Anthony?
All right. Yeah. The other big thing we have is we have launched a new column and feature on BoardGameAcademics.com. This is called Victory Points. So this is a regular column that'll be publishing at least once a month, which we're going to be featuring research, case studies, discussions, professional and academic insights into, you know, just the growing and nurturing diverse communities within the world of tabletop gaming. So we're looking for people to submit essays of a couple thousand words that explore issues around accessibility and inclusion and diversity and equity within tabletop games. So you can check this out on boardgameacademics.com/essay-submissions. We are accepting, for this particular column, we are accepting submissions year round. There's no like call for proposal period. This is separate from the journal. Keep that in mind. So you're not submitting to the journal, but it's also not a full academic journal article either. It's more of an academic essay. So you can view all of the requirements and descriptions of what that looks like and what we're looking for on the website. There's a link here in the show notes as well. And yeah, if you have something that you would like to see if it would be a good fit, or if you just want to, you know, recommend somebody that you think would be interesting to see published, please let us know. Reach out. We are excited to get this up and going. It's sponsored by Game Pathways, and we will be publishing hopefully the first time next month.
Yeah, all our writers for the Victory Points are compensated too, so your writing benefits you, but also benefits the community at large. Just like we ask for tabletop games, so that we get to know your list, we also want to know your thoughts and ideas and experiences out in the tabletop industry. Maybe people haven't heard them. Maybe you have a unique perspective. Just check out Board Game Academics, and it has all the information there. And just email Anthony an outline. Just give him a sense of what you're thinking, and he can kind of guide you through the process here or there.
Yep.
All right. So that's everything that's happening with us, and again, with you out there. Now, let's get on to your episode. Anthony, our listeners' top 100 games of all time.
All right, listeners, top 100 games. So how this worked was I asked everybody who submitted to our contest to give us a top 10. And typical ranking fashion, their number 10 is worth a point. Their number one is worth 10 points. Counted up all of the submissions, all 900,000, whatever it was. I guess 2,500 or so unique individual submissions with nearly 1,000 different game entries.
Mm-hmm.
And ranked them based on which ones had the most points.
Sure.
So it's, again, I have fun doing that. It's a lot of fun. And the end result is always very cool. So a couple things that come out of this. One, there are some things that get condensed a little bit. So if somebody's like, Castles of Burgundy and Castles of Burgundy Special Edition, I just smush those together. That's Castles of Burgundy.
Yeah.
But if somebody says Pandemic Legacy and Pandemic, I keep those separate.
Sure.
Those are different games. So there's a little bit of subjectivity in here where I'm like, those are different games. Those are the same game. But it's no different than Board Game Geek doing exactly the same thing. So
they're worse at it, to be fair.
They are worse at it because they have Castles of Burgundy Special Edition as a separate game. I'm like, it's the same game.
No, stop doing that, BGG. Stop.
Yeah. All the Twilight Imperium entries went together because I'm like, no one's playing TI2 anymore. Okay. And if you are, I'm just going to assume you're playing TI4. It's fine.
That's true.
So yeah, that's what we have. So we have 100 games ranking down that peaked the top of the list. These 100 games, it's about the top 15% or so of all the games submitted. So again, we had a ton of entries. So this is legit like your top 100 games. Probably the best list I think we've ever done for this, but in terms of like total volume of entries, wow, which is really cool.
Excellent. All right.
So we're going to dive in. We'll briefly discuss and then comment on whether it made our list or not. Unfortunately, there's probably some of these we haven't played, but we'll be very transparent about that when it comes up. Number 100, Rising Sun.
I love Rising Sun. It was on my top 100 list.
It's not on my list. Not as big a fan of this as like other games from Mr. Lang, but I definitely can see why it's up here. I was actually surprised it wasn't higher based on like the buzz around it before.
Yeah, I think the two-player system that goes into that game is really unique. If it didn't have that, then yes, but I'm glad to see it here.
Yeah. Number 99, Android Netrunner. Not on my list. This is one of those games that I think if I'd gotten into it earlier would be on my list.
Yes.
I got into it after it got canceled because a friend had it. Like, this is brilliant, but now I can't buy any of it because it's super expensive. So,
same. I think this is certainly a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Caverna at number 98. This was my number 54. I love me some Caverna. It's probably the lowest it's been on my list over the years, but it's still like way up there.
This is on my list as well. I'm not sure off the top of my head where, but it's pretty high up there. It's kind of resonated there. I like the new expansion that gives us different races, but I think the expansion, the fiends that came after it, not so great. But it's still such a great game. And honestly, like, if you have to play Anuve Rosenberg and you don't know the people at the table, this is probably the best one to go with.
Yeah, I could see that. 97, Clank Catacombs.
Mm.
I haven't played the Catacombs version, but a lot of people were hot on this one.
I think I have played this relatively recently, about a couple of months ago. I don't think it made the review list because we've been covering other things, but I have played it, and maybe I will review it now.
Yeah, this is the most recent one, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Clank's good.
Clank's good, yeah.
Yeah, it's not top 100 for me, but that's good.
No, same.
96, Wolfgang Worship game, Taverns of Teeth and Thal.
This is surprising.
It is surprising. I didn't like this game all that much. Same. I didn't hate it, but it was just very much a forgettable thing.
It felt kind of broken, and it felt redundant.
Yeah.
And again, I don't have any bad feelings toward it. I was just like, I was surprised because I thought this was going to be like a great like standout.
Yeah, well, because so many games from him in a row were.
Yes.
Yeah, like this was coming right after Quacks. So
mm-hmm.
Maybe with the expansion, it's better. I haven't played with the expansion.
Same.
95 is Woodcraft. I know this is a game that kind of fell flat for both of us as a Tsuchi game.
Super hotly anticipated and just didn't meet the mark. And I think there's so many unique things about the game that it should be like, it should be in like, I think everyone's top 100 and just not. It just never landed for me.
Yeah, same. Yeah,
it has like so many things. Maybe it has too many things.
I think that's it. I think it's what we talked about even. It's just like, it's a lot of stuff. Maybe too much stuff. It doesn't quite gel.
Because I remember playing it. It was just like, and then you can get the people and you can build your little tableau. And also there's the dice and you can plant the dice. And just like, maybe this should have just been a smaller game.
Yeah.
You know, just around one or two of those aspects instead of like the four or five that comes into play.
I will say the wood cutting and gluing is one of my favorite mechanics.
It's so genius. It's so obvious. It's so genius.
Yeah. It's so good with the dice. It's so good.
And money is blueberries. So
I love that.
Yeah.
It is a very cute game. 94, Clans of Caledonia. This was my number 11.
Not on my list.
One of my favorite just economic you know, Euro type of games. New expansion coming to Kickstarter, I think next week. So I'll be back in that. It's big box too. It's a lot of stuff. So very
they're
exciting.
Finally going to do a big box version of their tiny little game.
Big box compared to what it is. So no, it's a regular size box, but it's a lot of stuff.
Because that was the whole thing initially, right? They shrunk everything down so that they could afford the shipping.
Which ironically is probably one of the games the reasons the game's so successful.
Yes.
It's because you had a relatively chunky Euro in a tiny little box that was easy to carry around.
Mm-hmm.
93, a game I think we both like. It just kind of faded from time and it's a little more basic in terms of mechanics, is Dominion.
This could be just a lifestyle game, period. Yeah. Like I can't imagine why it wouldn't be. The app came out recently and it's really good. It's a really good app with all the expansions. I think it was quite expensive for all the expansions.
It's very expensive, but it's good.
Yeah. But I think it's been Dominion, I mean, to its credit, Dominion rose above all the other deck starters that took after it. And yet at the same time, like you said, Anthony, I think it's not redundant at all, but there's just so much out there for it.
There's so many games that take what Dominion does and build on it.
It's deck building, right?
If you want multiple mechanics, it's not this, right?
Yeah.
All right, 92, Paladins of the West Kingdom.
Sure.
One of the better games from this designer. And it was on my top 100 last time. It did not quite make it this time, but I do quite like this game. I think Architects is the one I've kept in my collection, but this is like a close second to that.
It's all of these games kind of blur together for me.
Right.
I feel bad about that, but they really do. I think I'm probably going to agree with you that this is the best of them, but I don't remember because they do all blur together.
Yeah, this one was like the longest one. It took too long to play. I think if it was shorter, I would like it a lot more, but it was like a three and a half hour game. And for a Shem Phillips game, I'm like, it's too long.
Is this the one where you're converting people?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, that's why.
Yeah, it's problematic in other ways too, but mechanically it's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's
not Earth, so it's not...
Okay, it's fine.
All right, number 91, Sleeping Gods, a game I have not played, but you have.
I played all of it, and it's not bad. Red Raven Games, you know, Ryan Lockett, like, he is locked in. Sorry, Ryan, that's terrible. I don't know. I played all of it. We talked about it. Like, it's fine. Yeah, it does a thing. As one of our listeners said, as they've now quoted us.
I was about to say, they're quoting you.
They're quoting me. Yeah. I appreciate that.
It's fine. It's a thing.
It's fine. It does a thing.
It does a thing.
It does a thing. I think it's also it's a thing is also a thing. So
there's a lot of those.
There's a lot of those. Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, I'll never play it, but it always looked interesting to me. Sure. I don't like that type of game. But number 90 is a game I thought I would like because I liked The Red Cathedral. I liked Shinkansen Zero K, which is designed by these two designers. And this is The White Castle. I just found it to be a little too simplistic as a worker placement type of game. But it's very pretty.
Sure.
And it has some interesting mechanics, like with like the little workers on the bridge. It didn't quite click for me. Like, it wasn't a dodge or anything. It was just like, it's fine. And I passed it on to somebody else who really wanted it.
I have not played this. I've seen it in multiple places. I think, again, just like you talked about Clans of Caledonia, the small box chunky Euro, it plays.
Yeah.
I have not played it, though, for some reason. Everyone's like, oh, White Castle. I hear good things. Like, oh, yeah, it's good. I bring it with me. And I'm like, oh, cool. Everyone's played it.
Yeah,
I think it's too late for me now to play it because everyone's played it out a little bit.
It's light enough that you can play it a bunch, but not so light that you're going to keep playing it a bunch.
Sure.
Right? It's still a Euro. People burn out on it.
Yeah.
So. 89, Andromeda's Edge. I know we both had it on our list around the same place. 37 for me. I think 35 for you.
Yeah.
Brand new game, but it did make the list because we also both had Dwellings of Eldervale on there before.
We did. Which recently came back into print, but not all of it came back into print. Some of the stuff did not.
Mm.
So I was just like, after all this time. and people were like, you know what? You made a better game now, so maybe not Dwellings. So I'm just like, right. Oof.
I feel bad for that publisher because it's a different publisher. They're yes. like, we had it first. I'm like, yeah, but you never printed enough copies.
Big
so.
Mistake because I would have bought that.
Yeah, like, me too.
Yeah, 100%.
And if I'd had that, I might not have bought this. So
possibly, you're right. It's yeah. a very, it's a Gaia Project kind of situation.
It was just a lot of money. Like, I don't know that I would have gone this far in on this type of game if That's I true. Already had, like, the same thing. But who knows? I also make that decision all the time. I'm bad at that. All right, number 88, a game I have not played in 10 years.
Wow. I just Euphoria. Get that on the list.
Yeah.
People like, remember this game?
I guess, yeah. It's got that Stonemaier shine to it.
It's still shiny?
I guess.
I know they reprinted it.
It was always interesting. It's a cool idea.
They reprinted it.
They okay.
I believe sense. They reprinted it at some point.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure they did, because I think the initial copy, the rule book was kind of wacky, and it sure. was, because I remember playing it when it first came out, because it was one of the early Kickstarters, and we played it, we reviewed it.
Yeah, like you and I played it with Dave and Daniel, I think, at Dave's house a long time
ago. I also played it at the store, too, with...
Oh, you played at the store as well, yeah.
Yeah, and people were kind of frustrated with it.
It had some issues, but I really liked the ideas. Like, it's a cool concept...
Believe
that was just not quite balanced.
I think it had expansions too.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
87, my game, not quite on my top 100, but up there, like maybe top 150. Isle of Cats.
Sure.
Polyomino Cats. Sure. Heck yeah. Lounging on a boat.
Yeah, like, I guess.
Yeah.
As I said, folks, earlier, there's a game about everything.
There literally is. And this is the one.
This is it. This shows it.
Polyomino fantasy cats sleeping on a boat.
That's I still have not is. Played it. Maybe I should not continue to play it just because to keep the meme going, but I would play it. I'm not against playing it.
Honestly, I think you'd like it. It's a drafting game. It's not
I like drafting games.
Yeah, like the polyominoes are secondary to
I'm super,
the card drafting.
I'm super allergic to cats, but I'm not against cats. So yeah. It's fine. I'm not anti-cat.
Yeah. Like there's no fur on the tiles.
Well, there you go. Fine. Well, maybe at your house there might be.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Wear the mask in my house. 86, a game I owned for a long time and finally got rid of because I couldn't get it to the table. PAX Renaissance. These PAX games are tough.
Yeah. I mean,
they're long, they're complicated, the rule books are not super digestible. It always looked very good to me, and I wish I had gotten a chance to play it, but I did not.
I don't know if I played this. All the PAX is kind of, again, also blur together. This is what happens when you have 11 years and 500 episodes.
Right? Yeah. Just like, definitely not on our list, so I can say that for sure.
Gotcha. Not on my list either.
85, Aeon's End. Not on my list. I haven't played it in a while, but when I used to play this game, I had it. I had Aeon's End Legacy for a bit, too. It's very good. It's this kind of deck-building mechanic, but, like, much narrower scope of information. It's like if you took, like, Sentinels and just, like, stripped away all the tracking and just made it all straightforward. Everything's in front of you. It's very, very smart in that regard. It's its own little ecosystem to itself. There's like eight versions of this at this point. So you really have to be all in on it.
Sure. I think you got me the base game and I don't remember it.
That sounds like something I would do. Yeah. I remember playing that and like, Chris would like this. And then I didn't play it anymore either. So
you're like, you play this now. Cause I don't want to play it. It's like, ah, fine.
Yeah, it's good, but I've never done a touch it again. 84 is Beyond the Sun, the tech tree building sci-fi game. I really enjoy this game quite a bit. It bumped itself off my list probably because I burned out on it on Board Game Arena.
Sure.
Which does happen sometimes. I play too many games on Board Game Arena. I don't really want to play at the table anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not like solvable necessarily, but there's a limited number of paths.
Yes.
There aren't that many cards in the game. And the expansion was not great because of how it integrated certain things and they weren't compatible with each other. And it was like this whole, like, take that type of outside alien element that just like, no, just give me more tech.
Yes.
They didn't do what I wanted.
Yeah. I think I was like very excited about this cause I like tech trees and this came out and I was just like, it looks bland as all get out. And I don't remember the number, but I have played this a lot on Board Game Arena. So it hasn't been enough for me to pick the game up in physical copy of it, but I have played it a lot. I haven't played the expansion, and this is getting a reskin reinvention. It's becoming a kind of, I think it's based on like Earth and growing and stuff like this.
Oh, okay.
So it's, there's a new version of this coming out soon. It's a little, it adds a little bit more, and I think it thins out some of the, you know, the bumps, but it's a good game. It's a solid, good game for sure.
It's great. Yeah, I like it a lot. If I could play the solo mode with the expansion, I think I'd like it a lot more, but they're not compatible, and I hate that.
Yeah, maybe the new version might work for you.
Okay. 83, I know it's on both of our lists. 39 on mine, I think 78 on yours.
Oh, okay.
Eclipse, Second Dawn for the Galaxy.
It's, as always, in the shadow of TI4, but certainly deserves, pun intended, but it doesn't need to be. I don't know why. Like,
no, it's a different game. It's a very marketing. Different experience.
There needs to be somebody who come from marketing just to be like, hey, do you know this is great? And people are like, what is that? I'm like, it's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
It's a great game. People should play it more.
I was looking at my shelf the other day and I was like, all next to each other, I have Twilight Imperium, Eclipse, Second Dawn for the Galaxy, Andromeda's Edge, and now Voidfall.
Mm.
All four of these games are in my top 100. Twilight Imperium's retired now, but all three, I'm like, they're all the same theme. They're all enormous boxes, but they're all very different.
Yes.
They all have a different purpose.
Yes.
And I really like that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Number 82, a game I have to admit I don't actually know. So this is Guards of Atlantis. Is this a game you're familiar with?
Don't think so. Guards?
Guards of Atlantis. Yeah, it was. So it's a tabletop MOBA.
Oh.
There's Guards of Atlantis 2 came out in 2022. Card-driven team versus team battle arena. And it had enough votes. It was like at least, you know, 8 or 9 people had this on their top 10. So it's a team-based game, zero luck. It's based on MOBAs. Oh. So it seemed like something maybe you would have heard of, but I'd never heard of this.
I remember seeing this box, Guards of Atlantis 2,
mm-hmm.
and miniatures and miniature stuff, but... no, I have not played this. I think I've seen the box, but I think that's as far as it's gotten.
All right.
CMON had their ship one, where it was like two ships fighting.
Rum and Bones. Yeah.
And then I think for me personally, like that did it in. Like it just didn't work really well.
No, yeah.
So I kind of maybe gave up on that whole MOBA in a board game version.
All right. Well, we'll have to track this one down because apparently it works.
Love
People
it.
Say it works.
I bring me back, buddy.
Yeah, it plays up to 10 players too.
Ooh, because you're playing in
teams. Yeah, you play in teams of two.
Cool.
All right, number 81, a game that I like when it's popped up. I'm like, oh, why wasn't this on my list? And I'm like, I guess I just there's a bunch of other 2-player card games.
Yes.
Lost Cities, so good.
Such a good game. Smart.
Yeah.
Smart game. Like, even have the board game version of this too.
Yeah, no, Reiner Knizia at his finest. Like, it's very numerical, it's very straightforward, but just such a clever, like, just...
The app is very good, too.
Push your luck type of game. Yeah, great app.
Yeah.
All right, number 80, classic here, Age of Steam. So we have Mr. Wallace from 2002. Now, this game has been re-released like a dozen different ways. Mm-hmm. Railways of the World, Steam... Multiple versions of Age of Steam, but mm-hmm. this is the original. So big hexes, you're laying down tracks and you're connecting different cities and delivering goods. But it's not as complicated or long or headache inducing as like an 18XX game.
Sure.
So it's trains for people who want a 2-hour game.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Have not played it. I don't know. I've missed it.
You haven't played Age of Steam?
No.
Interesting. All right.
I don't think so. I have the boards. I picked up the board, like the expansion boards at one point.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, I'm going to play this. And then, like, those were up for auction. I'm like, yeah, I'll pay whatever it is to get those boards. And just never came together.
Yeah. There's a very pretty deluxe edition that Ian O'Toole did.
Of course.
From Eagle Griffin Games, like 5 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful version. But it was like $125 because it's deluxe Eagle Griffin. Yeah. I was like, I don't know if I like this game that much, but I do like it a lot. And old Martin Wallace games are so ugly.
That's
so.
True.
But there's very pretty versions of it out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number 79, Res Arcana. This was on my list. Maybe, I don't think last time, but maybe the time before that. A brilliant little game from Thomas Lehman that uses very few components, parts, anything, and you're just building the most efficient possible engine with what you have.
Sure.
What you have is very limited. It's such a fun game, and it's short and it's direct. It's a good experience.
I played this with you, I think, initially, the first time.
Yeah, probably.
I wasn't thrilled with it, but I have since played a lot of it on Board Game Arena. I still feel it's a little overly constricting, because just you're going to get a good combo or not. But
right, there are two expansions that open it up a little bit, but that's the name of the game. It is meant to be restrictive, so if you don't like that, it's not for you.
Sure.
All right, next up we have number 78, which almost made my list. It was actually on my list when we started recording the first week, and I removed it for something else before we got to it. And that's Apiary. This is the new Bees in Space game from Stonemaier. And it's silly, it's a dumb theme, it's all whatever, but it's actually a very good worker placement game.
That's great.
with a very clever like dice build mechanic, and the dice are little bee-shaped things.
That's fantastic. I haven't played it yet. So we have to put that on the list.
We should play that. Yeah, and I just got an expansion in that like adds more possible tiles and cards.
Sure.
So it just like opens up replayability. And it's solid. 77 is a game that I owned for a little bit. I think you were there when I bought this.
I think so.
And it just didn't click for me. Maybe because I'm not a huge horror fan, but Final Girl. So this is based on Hostage Negotiator, and Hostage Negotiator is a game and like you roll a bunch of dice and you're trying to negotiate with someone who's taken hostages before the hostages die. This is the same type of thing. It's very dice driven, luck based, but like you're mitigating that luck and you're trying to survive as the final girl in a horror movie. It's extremely popular, and there's like 20 or 30 different versions of it with the different themes from different horror movie tropes.
Brilliant.
It's very clever. It's very well done. I gave it a buy, but it's just not for me because I'm just not the horror person. Sure. I wish I'd kept it because now my son is a huge horror person and I think he'd love this game.
Yeah.
But I did pass it along at some point.
Yeah, it was such an inventive idea, another brilliant idea that why should this not be a thing? It fits so well with the solo mechanic. And I remember this being up on crowdfunding. I was just like, I should back this. I should back all of this. Because again, it was another one of those games where it was like, hey, do you want this game? And like it's 4 to 8 expansions at the same time. And I'm like, yes, no.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. It suffered from the Kickstarter expansion or bubble. Like it was just too much at once.
Yeah. And it's the way it's designed, right? Like you buy a base box, you can't play the game with the base box. You have to buy the pack that goes with it. So you're buying two boxes to start. You're like, well, if I'm buying two, I might as well buy three. And I might as well buy 100%. Might as well buy all of them.
Yeah.
I have the complete volume one now. I have 8 boxes and there's 3 volumes. So it's just like 24 or 25 different things. It's too much.
I think if they would have packaged it and came out retail in a normal kind of way, I think I would have went forward with it. But
yeah,
not so much.
All right, number 76. We just talked about it briefly, Railways of the World. So this is the re-implementation that came out 3 years after Age of Steam. And then later was re-implemented by Railways Express and Railways of... the World, the card game. So it's based on the video game, so it's taking like Steam, Age of Steam, and like converting it over to the video game theming. Glenn Drover and Martin Wallace worked together on this, but it's again, it's the same idea. Like you're laying out tracks, connecting things, you have these various tracks where you're growing up. It's if you like trains, if you like Railroad Tycoon, that type of stuff, that's what this is.
Yeah, another train game that has escaped me. I keep missing the trains.
Yeah, I know, man. That's like, I'm all aboard it. Did it.
You did the thing.
All right. Number 75, Targi. This is a two-player only game from Andreas Steiger. Came out in 2012. It's a open drafting type of set collection game. I played it once because Drew, who's been on the show many, many times in the past, insisted it was like the best game ever made. I was like, fine, Drew. I'll play Targi with you. And it was good. It was fine, but it wasn't so good that I went out and bought it.
Sure.
So, I appreciate it.
I don't know if I played this, honestly.
Drew didn't get you?
I don't know if he got me on this one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was obsessed with this for a while.
I'll have to listen to the back episodes.
Right. All right, 74, Age of Innovation.
I have played this. I'm back in.
Right. You're back in. I'm doing it.
Yeah, another train game. I'm in. Choo-choo.
Age of Innovation. That's not a train game.
Come on. It's fine. It's all the same thing.
Yeah, this is the Terra Mystica, but like fast forward 300 years development thing. It would have been on my top 100, except I chose only to include Gaia Project this time around. Mm-hmm. So it's great. It's a solid new implementation. If you like, if you want one of these, this is the one to get.
Right?
It depends on what theme you want at this point.
It's great that it's up here too, because this is also another version that could certainly get lost because it doesn't have the name recognition.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. 73 is Cascadia, my number 5. So y'all are doing all right and getting my games in there.
Still have not played it.
Anthony won't play it with me.
He's like,
there's an app now. It's on Steam.
I go over to Anthony's house. He has all these games and he's like, look at all these games that I'm not going to play with you.
Oh, sure. That's what happened.
And then I cry and he's like, ha ha ha, I have the best games in the world. Now go home and play your, you know, worn out copy of Seven Wonders. I'm like, no, I want to play the good game.
There's like 90 games behind you right now.
You don't know that.
I can see them. They're right behind you. we'll play Cascadia at some point.
Sure.
Number 72 is Catan. You all know Catan.
What?
We all love Catan.
What is this game?
Catan. Say what now?
What? Catan Van?
Catan Van.
Settlers?
Catan Van.
Do you mean Settlers?
What now? Now, you're not allowed to say that because that's problematic. Just Catan. Let's forget that there's settlers involved.
Okay, sure.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
71, Pax Pamir. I love that these are next to each other.
Yes.
Thematically. That's great.
Fantastic.
Pax Pamir, second edition, Cole Worley's update to his, at one point, very difficult to play Pax game. Now much easier to play. Beautiful production. Fantastic use of history. Just a wonderful tableau builder.
Is there anything this man can't do? Come on.
No, you got crazy woodland creatures. You've got crazy nonsense in space. You've got this, the great game in Afghanistan. It's all over the place.
I mean, seriously, dude, take it down a notch. Like, you're just showing off now at this point. Like,
right?
Catan was just there, and like, you were like, no, let me try something a little harder.
Better.
Hold my beer. Just saying.
Hold my beer. all right, number 70, Teotihuacan. This was my number 19, and it's this great Rondell game. It's got a fantastic approach to, you know, just building up your resources and building up the pyramid and building up 40 other things. There's a lot going on in this game. And now with the deluxe edition, it has joined the ranks of games that I can't get off my shelf.
Board and Dice did a really good job and a really good thing for the rest of us getting that game at a reasonable price. It didn't make my top 100, I think, just because it doesn't hit the table anymore. It used to hit the table all the time.
Yeah, and it's kind of faded a little bit. 69 is Oathsworn.
Scary trees.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Scary trees.
I keep hearing about this. I have a friend in the area who keeps inviting me to join his group's Oathsworn game. Same. And it's not that I don't want to, it's just it's always bad timing. It's scary. But at the same time, I look at it, I'm like, do I want to?
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing. I have a friend trying to recruit me constantly for this game. I'm just like, I don't know. Scary trees and rats. I was like, there's so many plastic miniature games out there. I don't know if this is the one.
Right.
Yeah. It's fine.
But it's there. And apparently, it's, you can drop in and out easily. That's the thing everybody keeps telling me. Like, no, 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 you can just join. It's fine. I'm like, okay.
Just be careful of the trees.
I don't know how that's a campaign game then, but whatever.
Watch out for the trees. That's all I'm saying.
Trees. Crazy, scary trees. Mm-hmm. 68 is Clank. We just talked about other Clank. This is a Clank I've played. So
I play, yeah, Clank. Clank's good. Clank's great. Clank in a lot of ways kind of, I don't know, messed with Dominion's lunch because... Mm-hmm. I think there were a lot of deck builders, some better, some worse, you know. And then Clank came along and like went deck builder and worker placement. And you were like, bro, I'm in. And then Dominion kind of fell off a little bit.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of games did this all at once.
Yes.
Like deck builder plus X. Mm-hmm. And this is the one that came out of all that. Like you don't hear about Tyrants of the Underarch anymore. You don't hear about Trains anymore.
It's true.
You hear about Clank. Number 67. Best auction game of all time, in my opinion, Raw.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think. No, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. This For Sale is up there, but this one's really good.
I love For Sale. But first, I mean, you're literally talking, especially now with the Super Deluxe version. Like For Sale, you can get for like $10 and Raw's like $90 or something.
If you're lucky. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice production, but it's expensive.
Yes.
It's great though. It's fantastic. Brenner Knizia again. It's his best game, I think. I would say.
Again, I think it's one of those games where from a career perspective, I'm just like playing this. I'm like, I will never enjoy and or win this game. And I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm winning and enjoying this game. How is this a thing?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like doing like risk analysis and pushing my luck, like things I don't do in life.
I've won this game. This is a game where I've won so much. I can't even properly explain how. I couldn't give you a strategy for it. I'm just like,
right.
Yeah. Press your luck, buddy. Press your luck.
All right. Number 66 is The Crew.
Mm-hmm.
This is the cooperative trick-taking game. And there's a bunch of these that have come out now, but this was like the one that broke through.
Yes. And this is the outer space one.
Yes. Yeah. So I collapsed them a little bit. Okay. I think we had several people voted for both of them. I just put The Crew in here.
Oh, sure.
So the Deep Sea is the better of the two versions. Some people voted for, you know, the outer space one, and that's fine. Like it's all the same mechanics, but that's why it's here at 66.
Both good.
Split up.
Yeah.
Great game. Number 65, Zolkin, the Mayan calendar. This was on your list too, right? It's on 65 at mine.
Yeah. It's so amazing that it's still a classic. And it's so great to see so many classics on this list, too. Zolkin is, again, it's not, weirdly enough, it's not been reprinted in a solid gold version at this point.
I know.
Is that weird?
Yeah, they haven't. It feels like the kind of game that you would want to throw up and do a deluxe edition on.
I can't imagine why they haven't done it at this point, considering what they've done with everything else. Like,
yeah.
The wheels in that game are prime for, like, overproduction.
I guess maybe it's CGE and they just don't do that.
Good for them. Good people there.
Yeah, keep it affordable, even though it's got a really cool production.
Yeah, love it.
It's cool. Go see if you haven't seen it. Go see it. It's got a cool wheel.
Yes,
that's the thing. It's the wheel. 64 Wormspan. This is dragons, but Wingspan, but dragons.
Yeah. Recently, I was at a game night, and some people were like, "Should we play this?" And I'm like, "You should play that." And they're like, Wingspan? I'm like,
it's better than Wingspan.
Yeah.
It just is. Like, the flexibility and the actions you get because of the egg system, it's a better mechanic. Like, not the egg system, the dragon things. Like, it's just better.
The cave thing's a little cumbersome, but...
It is, but it's cool because it gives you a whole extra thing to do.
Sure. Sure. I'm not mad at it. I love dragons, so...
Yeah.
I give them credit for actually... going with Wormspan instead of Dragonspan, because like that's a baller move. Like no one's gonna know what that means.
Right. Yeah, you put this on a shelf in Target, people are like, what's a worm?
I don't want to play a game with worms in it. And you're just like
no, it's worm with a Y.
They're like, still, they no. Daddy, get me the worm game? Like, no, no, it's not a...
No, 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 honey. You don't want the worm game. Oh, man. It's good stuff, though. 63, Hansa Teutonica.
Man, I gotta tell you, our friends out there, they are hardcore classic people. This is like, the kind of... When you talk about a dry Euro, and I mean that in a very positive way, like, this is the saltine of Euro gaming.
Saltine.
That's great. It's
No, no, it's super dry.
Yeah.
It's good.
Super dry, but it's a little tasty.
Yeah.
And
it's got salt. It's all that you need.
It gets people out there. Again, I think last year we were at Level Up and our friend Chris and Aaron were playing Hansa Teutonica, and I was like, really? Really? And they don't play Euro games generally. And they're like, yeah, we like it. I'm like, oh, okay. Welcome aboard.
Yeah. No, that's good. All right, 62, another good one. It's a good entry. It's just a funny one that I did not expect here. Space Base.
Yeah, this is another game that like was a thing for a minute and then just disappeared. But
yeah, it's got that Machikoro mechanic. Yeah. You roll dice, everybody activates that number. I always like that. Mm-hmm. It's just sometimes it drags a little bit.
Yeah.
And this one does suffer that from that as well, unfortunately. But it's not broken like Machikoro.
Same. So. Okay.
61 is On Mars.
That's funny.
So we're going from one really light space game to one really heavy space game. This was my number 26. It's my highest rated Lacerda game. I love it. It's super heavy, but especially with the expansion, it's very smart.
I don't remember if this made my top 100. I don't think so. I think it needed the expansion for me to kind of raise it to that level.
Yeah, it wasn't on yours, but we did talk about it. Like, it was close.
Yeah, it's in my Lacerda collection, you know, with the wonderful Enotal artwork. So
Yes. All right, number 60, Too Many Bones.
I have this. I have a lot of this.
You like this a lot more than I do. Yes.
I do. Not my top 100, but I do.
Yeah, I played it a couple times. I don't know, it was a bit cumbersome for my taste. But I really love the production.
It'll take a bullet for you and keep going.
Yeah,
you could submerge it underwater. You could throw it out of an airplane. You could put it through a nuclear reactor. It's still good.
My favorite story is just you describing taking this through the airport.
Oh my goodness! I was in so much trouble because this game with all of its dice. They were like, yeah, we're going to get the guys with the extra big guns to check through your bags. I'm just like, but why? And they're like,
it's just dice. And they're like, there's not that many dice in anything. You're like, oh.
I can imagine through the x-ray scanner, that might have looked a little sus.
Oh, it probably looked crazy.
Yeah, like all those dice and that quality, you know, must have shown up as something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, number 59, Imperium. And so this encapsulates Horizon Legends and Classics. So this is the Turchi Buckle game that has, it's the same mechanics, but like you're playing as different civilizations across these different things. So there are like some historical ones, some legendary ones, some mythical ones. But it's just very clever little, like, I think it's 1 to 4 players, but most people play it 1 or 2, like civ building, tableau building card game.
Yeah, it's another one of your fancy games that I have not played because you will not play with me. So
I honestly have not played this myself. I keep learning the rules and then forgetting them and haven't gotten to the table with the group yet. So.
There's a Star Trek version coming out, I believe.
That's at the collection of games I don't play.
I will play that hard.
Yeah. All right. Number 58, Twilight Struggle.
Ooh, old school, man. Number one, man.
Yeah. It's a classic 2-player game of the Cold War, facing off. Played it once, thought it was really fascinating and interesting, but did not have a good experience in that particular play, so I have not gone back to it since, which is on me because it was a good game.
I still have not played this. Just have not. This is a game you have to schedule.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, especially if you haven't played before. It's a 5-6 hour experience. Mm-hmm. All right, number 57, Seven Wonders Duel. I think this stayed on your list. On my list, it got replaced by Lord of the Rings Duel.
Fair.
It's a brilliant game. It's one of the best 2-player games of all time, but then they went and made it better with Lord of the Rings theme, so.
True.
Got one upped a little bit.
Yeah, the Seven Wonders Duel with the expansions is quite nice, but it's totally understandable.
Yeah. All right, number 56, one of my favorite Uwe Rosenberg games, big sprawling mess of a monstrosity here, A Feast for Odin.
Who knew he ate so many weirdly shaped foods?
He loves his weirdly shaped foods. You don't even know, man. Maybe he literally does like weirdly shaped foods. This is his way of sharing that with the world.
I love it.
Yeah. 55, Cthulhu Death May Die.
Oh, yeah. Giant plastic Cthulhu.
Yeah, yeah. Cthulhu baby.
Again, this might be a dream, so if you're listening out there, please confirm or deny here. I think they came out with a Godzilla expansion that you can play in this game, and it fights Cthulhu.
I gotta look that up. I don't know.
Either some AI was doing a thing online, or that's actually a thing.
Godzilla versus Cthulhu promo.
All right, see,
yeah,
that's a thing. I didn't make it up.
No, it's big chonky Godzilla too.
Yeah,
that's great.
Cthulhu's in trouble, bro. Just saying. Yeah.
Well, now I have to get this game just to get that.
I know.
Yeah, except it was a promo at Comic-Con, so.
Of course.
Probably it's $4,000. Stupid CMON.
Wow, so it's going to be cheap is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. It's normal CMON prices.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of dinosaur-like creatures, 54, Dinosaur Island.
That's great, man. I'm so happy that this is here. I don't know I really might have forgotten if this made my top 100.
I don't know if it made yours. It did not make mine. It was close. It did make yours, 57.
All right, cool.
Almost the exact same spot.
Look, me and our friends out there, simpatico, man. Just saying.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good game. It's really easy to teach. That's the thing I always tell people. It's got a lot going on, but I can teach it in 5 minutes.
Sure.
It's very easy to teach.
And you can set the length of time in the game too, which is really smart.
Which is huge, yeah, yeah. Because if you don't have a lot of time, but you want something a little crunchy, get a game like this.
It's got amber dice with DNA in it.
Cool.
Like,
yeah,
they did it.
It's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
53, Nucleum. My number 29. This one came out just last year, but it manages to pack just enough stuff in to be really interesting without going too crazy.
I enjoyed my first play, even though I didn't know what I was doing whatsoever. And it didn't make my top 100 because I have not played it since, but I will. So it might get back there at some point.
Right. Number 52, we have Brass. And this is just Brass, Lancashire.
Oh, okay. Original Brass.
Yeah, we got more Brass coming later.
Oh.
So we've talked about this at like 800 different angles and ways. Like this game was fine. It's a very good game. The original version was ugly. The new version's not, but it came out alongside a better version, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
I wonder if this game will just go down in history as like the most successful redesign in like the history of tabletop gaming, like forever.
I think right now it is. Yeah.
It went from zero to number one. I have not seen any game come even close to that.
Yeah. 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 For sure. 51. Dune Imperium Uprising.
I've recently played Dune Imperium with all of the expansions. Somebody at the game store brought everything, including like Etsy made mats and dice trays and everything else that came along with it. And I'm just like, ew, well, this is everything. We played with everything. And now I can say Uprising I still like better.
Okay.
So
I've not played Uprising yet. I have everything plus all the miniatures for just Dune Imperium.
Sure.
I will not buy Uprising because of that, but I would love to play it someday.
Yeah, sounds good.
50 is Everdell.
Sweet.
And this is everything. People are like, the complete collection with this expansion. I just like, it's all Everdell. It's fine.
Tiny little woodland creatures or critters.
Yeah, it's cute. It's a cute game. It's accessible. It's got like basic worker placement stuff. I play with my kids. It's great.
Yeah, fantastic.
49 is Anachrony, Mind Clash's time travel game, which is still one of the coolest ways to represent time travel in a game. You're borrowing stuff, you have to pay it back. It's so cool.
Yeah, same. Agree.
48, Heat, Pedal to the Metal. I really liked Flamme Rouge. For whatever reason, all the extra stuff they added to Heat, I did not like it as much. I like Flamme Rouge. I think that's a really good race game that's simple and streamlined. This is like not as streamlined.
Yeah, I haven't played Flamme Rouge, but Heat, Pedal to Metal, like, there's a lot in the box. It's smart.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. It's a good game. It's just, yeah. I prefer the other
Not one. In my top 100, though.
Okay. Me neither. 47. I know this is definitely not on our list.
No.
Splendor.
I don't know how it did it, but it did it, and it's... I keep trying. Nope. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. I just want to love it more, and I don't. I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking about this game for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's a game.
It's a game.
46. Say it together now.
Blood Rage.
Blood Rage. Yes. Talked about Rising Sun at number 100. This is Blood Rage at 46. This is the version of Eric Lang's formula that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite of these. It's the one I still have everything for. I painted half of it. It's a wonderful game.
Yep. Absolutely agree. 100%.
45 is Kanban. Most of these votes were for EV, but some people just said Kanban Driver's Edition. It's fine. I mashed them together. It's the same mechanics. This is Vital Lacerda's game about building cars, which is one of the best games about manufacturing that's ever been made because it's deeply thematic and it all follows a very interesting flow, which is very familiar as a flow within the manufacturing system. So it's very good.
Yeah, it's a great game, great system, and still modern, still works.
Yep. 44 is Race for the Galaxy.
Modern day classic, and you can't beat it depending on what expansions you're playing with. Still a great game.
Yep. 43 is Mage Knight. This one was up there for me. It's one of my favorite solo games. I compared my new number one Voidfall to this a bunch because they have a similar vibe to them, which is why it's funny that number 42 is Voidfall. So these both got the same number of votes from our listeners at 43 and 42. And yeah, they both have that same vibe for me. They're both games that I'll probably only ever play solo
because
they're so long to set up, takes so long to play. And I want to be able to sit there and have the AP to figure out the moves, which I would not want to do to somebody else. Like if I played these two or three players, like I would feel bad and then the game wouldn't be as much fun. So these are like the ultimate thinky, puzzly solo games.
Nice. I haven't played it. Maybe happen one day.
Yeah. I mean, I could teach you, but just, you know, it might take 8 hours.
Sure.
That's all for either one of them. 41, Cosmic Encounter. There's one we both played.
Cosmic Encounter, it's the most random of random games out there.
That's a good way to describe it. It is randomness the game. Just things happen.
I played a game where I didn't even take a turn, and the game was over because somebody won. Yep.
And that's a game apparently.
But it really is inventive and unique with the alien races. It does give you a real kind of fun experience. So, this used to be Tom Vassell's number one for like endless numbers of years.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was his War for the Ring.
Yes.
all right. Number 40 is Pandemic. This is one again where I like condensed a lot of, there was like Pandemic or Pandemic with this expansion, Pandemic Iberia. I'm like, those are all close enough. But Pandemic always gets a lot of votes. There's a lot of people who really enjoy just this formula of gameplay.
I've played a couple of versions of this. I'm not sure which is the best, but they're good.
I still stick with Iberia. I think it's the best. That's the one with like the late 19th century, and you're trying to solve like cholera. And it's a smaller map. It's tighter. There's more interesting things about movement and water.
Which one was the one with Rome?
Oh, Fall of Rome is good.
Yeah,
you're not dealing with diseases. You're dealing with like the barbarians.
That's what I think. That was the one I enjoyed.
Yeah, that one's good too.
I never played the Game of Thrones one. It was always kind of somewhat on sale, but also at the same time incredibly unnecessarily expensive.
Yeah, there was a lot of like, so like there's that. There's the Wrath of the Lich King one.
Oh yeah,
the World Warcraft one. Sure. There's the Star Wars one, the Clone Wars one. those start to add a little bit too much.
Yeah,
so just like, give me the basic formula with a couple tweaks.
Gotcha.
All right, 39, Gaia Project. This is my favorite version of this formula. It's my number 8 game. It's fantastic. It's modular. It's got cool technology tracks. Really works really well solo. Great Automa. Fantastic game.
Not my favorite version, but it's still a very good version for me.
38 is Innovation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a game I've spent much time with. I feel like you've probably played it more than I have.
I've played this a lot, especially back in the day. It's all about you know, civilization building and splaying your cards out. And it certainly has a unique vibe and it has its audience and it's still a solid game.
Yeah. 37, Marvel United.
Never heard of this game. Do not own any of it. Don't know what you're talking about. Why is it
not even $10 worth? Nothing.
Well, definitely not $10 worth.
No, not $10.
Quite the opposite of $10.
Oof, too many dollars worth. This made my list at number 96. And I like, if I was building the list on how much I had spent, it would be in the top 10. Yeah. I love it. I got the multiverse stuff in recently. Same. It's cool. Big old Galactus.
Yeah.
It's cool looking. I wish I played it more, honestly, for as much stuff as I have.
Sure. Somebody is like, usually go to game night to get games that usually do not get played or really big, heavy, crunchy games. And someone's like, I saw in their collection at like Marvel United games. I'm like, we should play that because we all own this and it's not getting table time. You know, yeah. Like the idea of like, oh, I have like 100 different character figures from all these different expansions. And you're like, yeah, we should probably be playing this by now. Like we should.
Right.
We'll never play them all the combinations or all the characters, but we should probably try.
Yeah. I was trying to organize the cards for this game the other day. And I was like, oh, I have this box that holds 1500 cards. It holds half the cards.
That's crazy.
It's too many cards. All right, number 36, Azul.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Classic abstract game, one of the favorites in my house. Fantastic. I'll play any of these, honestly. My favorite is Summer Pavilion, but I like all of them.
100%. Yeah, I mean, they're all quite good, so can't go wrong.
Yeah. 35 is Keyflower.
Aw.
I've not played this.
Oh, wow, this is a classic.
I was there, like, you saw me buy it. I owned it for years, yeah. And I never got around to playing it.
This is another game where if you come in playing Euro games and then you play Keyflower, it just like knocks you around because you're building stuff other people are going to use.
Yeah.
And when you use their stuff, you lose your people. So it does take a second to kind of like wrap your brain around it, but it's quite a good game.
Yeah. One of these days I'll play it. 34 is Power Grid. Power Grid is just an all-timer. It's number 27 on my list. We talked about Raw as one of the best auction games. This is up there. It's top five, top 10 auction games for sure.
Raw has a lot more of that press your luck that goes along with it. So it's nice to see the variations, I guess. Both very good.
Yeah, like Power Grid's not a pure auction game, but it's really interesting how it works and then feeds into your economy that you're building.
Agreed.
33 is Nemesis, which I keep seeing on all these top lists, and I've still never played it. Same. Or seen it at the table anywhere.
I saw it at the table once a long time ago, okay. But I have not played it.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Alien fan, so I don't know if I'll track it down, but one of these days someone will say Nemesis, and I'll say sure.
I think it's cost prohibitive for me. I think it's just...
It's really expensive.
Like the recent kind of crowdfunding was just like...
Oh, if you wanted everything? Yeah, it was like $1,200 or whatever. Crazy.
But to be fair, the alien actually does pop out of your chest, so it's fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good. So you get to die for the $1,200.
Well, you're going to want to feel like you're dead after spending $1,200. So.
Oh, man.
It's not even like an IP they're paying for.
No, it's their own thing.
I know. It's kind of a stolen IP, if anything.
Oh, totally. Yeah. All right. Next up, another space thing. Star Wars Rebellion at 32. We both had this way up on our list.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic game. I think you had it higher than me.
Mine's at least in the top 10, maybe in the top 5.
Yeah, it was up there, like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Star Wars, the board game, which we never thought we'd get, and then we got it, and it's brilliant, and bam, that's what we wanted.
Yeah, if I could send this back in time to me as a kid, that
I
would just love the heck out of this, because it's basically, it's all the toys in the box, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. 31 is Through the Ages.
So that's all the Through the Ages?
Through the Ages?
Yeah, all of them.
All of them. Yeah.
Both of them, I should say.
New story, regular story. I didn't differentiate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's an amazing game. Better on the app because it's a lot of moving little cubes.
This is a weird one where a lot of the time, if I played it more digitally, I took it off my top 100.
Sure.
This is one where I didn't because the app does feel like you're still playing the card game.
Agreed.
And it takes the same amount of time. So. Like an hour long
I mean, I would love if one day, if they did reprint this, if it got like a Eclipse version where like it had the plastic holders for all those things, or at least the inset boards.
That would be cool. Yeah. Just streamline it. 30 is Pandemic Legacy Season 1. Mm-hmm. All three seasons got votes, but this is the only one that made the list, which makes sense. It's the one everybody played if you're going to play any of them. So I had it on my list for a little while. I've dropped it off since then because I'm never going to play it again. Like, it was an amazing experience. It was one of my favorite gaming experiences. I played it with my wife, but I'm never going to play it again because I did it. I'm done now.
It was previously the number one game of all time before I think Brass came along. Or was it Brass?
Gloomhaven knocked it down, and then Brass knocked it. Yeah, it's at number three or four now.
I have not played it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, if you're not a huge Pandemic fan, there's no reason to.
Sure. But
it's still the best Legacy game 10 years later. 29, I was very surprised by, because this is way up there, and it got a lot of votes, is Revive. So this is a 2022 game. It is in the top 100 on Board Game Geek. So this is from the Santa Maria crew. I have it. It was fine. I didn't think it was that great. And then I was looking at this. I'm like, oh, people love this.
I have not played it. I've heard about it a lot, but I've not played it.
Yeah, I have it. I got the expansion. We should play.
Yeah.
28, Barrage.
I mean, it made a comeback. It had its problems when its initial release, but people love the crunch, man.
It is a very crunchy game. A lot of very interesting decisions. Everything you do hurts somebody else. And that makes a lot of people happy. It's a tough one, but it's really good. 27 is Tapestry, the Civ game from Stonemaier. I'll be honest, I never went back and played it with the expansion stuff.
Same.
But it burned me out without the
expansion. I would love to play with the expansion stuff. Jamie Seckmeyer, clearly you are, you know, voting on this list. Send me the expansions so I can see if the game is better. Because I had a lot of promise for this game.
Yeah, I played it a bunch. At least, I don't know, the six, base seven game, times the... before I reviewed it. And it just never quite clicked.
Well, he admitted that base game had problems.
Yeah, it was very imbalanced.
So
26, I know a game you like, Orléans.
I love Orléans. It's fantastic. It's bag building, and the expansions are hit and miss a little bit, but if you can get more of the technologies so it just mixes things up, it's wonderful.
Right. 25, Obsession. I have the new expansion coming in the mail tomorrow for this. I'm very excited.
Lucky you.
Yeah,
Obsession, I'm obsessed with it. We've already talked about that. People know.
Yeah. It's Victorian England, the game. And it's...
Again, it makes no sense, but it's such a brilliant game.
Yeah, no, it should not work in any sense, but it really does work really. 24 is Wingspan. When we've done this list in the past, this was like number one, number two. It's dropped down a little bit. I think Wormspan is taking some of its votes now, but still an all-timer up here from Stonemaier.
Sure.
It's Birds. Birds of the game.
Birds!
23 is Twilight Imperium. I mentioned this before. This is all the Twilight Imperiums. Most people voted for 4. Some people didn't specify. A couple people said 2 or 3.
Wow, 2 or 3.
I'm sorry I'm not representing your versions, but this is just Twilight Imperium.
I mean, it's one of the best games of all time. It's on our Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I tentatively have a game of this scheduled in like 3 weeks. I'm very excited about it. Like, it's on someone else. They're scheduling it. So I'm like, please, I hope it happens. But it's like one of those things you can maybe pull off once every year or two. Arkham Horror LCG at number 22. This is the story-driven LCG based on the Lord of the Rings LCG formula. Great stuff if you like Arkham stuff, if you like story-driven stuff, if you like that kind of story puzzle, RPG type of gameplay in a card game, board game, this is it.
Yeah, it was the Arkham game that made me love Arkham. And Cthulhu, it was really just kind of was like, oh, there is a story here. There is something like incredibly valuable.
Right. It's the only Arkham game that made me like any of that stuff. Lisboa at 21. Represent.
Fall down, go boom, come back up.
Yeah. Lisboa, this is your game.
It's my game.
Number 20, the fans agree. It's higher than A Feast for Odin by a fair bit.
I like to thank everyone out there. You did such a great job. You came through. I'm just saying. We all love some Agricola, some misery farming. Come together, do some drafting, and, you know, feed the family. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's so fun to have no points in a game.
Look, it doesn't have to always be funny shaped food. Sometimes it could be high quality meeple food. That's all I'm saying. Go break your bread, man.
Go break my bread. I'm going to do that after we get off here. I'm going to do that. Number 19, my previous favorite game of all time, now no longer allowed to be on my list because of powers that be.
It's gone to the West. It's past the veil.
To the West. Yes, they've gone away. War of the Ring. Second edition, but, you know, whatever. War of the Ring.
Yeah. Yeah, super, super amazing. Yeah, all the things.
Yeah, I just got in the limited edition today of the Lords of Middle-Earth, Kings of Middle-Earth expansion. They do the limited editions, got the warriors. I have all the stuff now except for the original limited edition, anniversary edition of the game, which is $5,000 on eBay, so I will never have it. But.
And yet he says he doesn't have all the fancy games, folks. See?
I never said that. I call it fancy games. You're like, he's got all the fancy games. We're all jealous. And I'm like, yeah, you better be. It's fine.
Ouch.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I don't know. Number 18, Carcassonne.
Yay, meeples. Before they were legally restricted.
Yeah. Well, by them.
Yes.
By
the, to be fair, they did invent the meeple, if you did not know.
It's not clear if they're going to enforce that trademark at all, because they have not yet started to, but we'll see what happens. Number 17, Great Western Trail.
Okay.
It's
fine.
I understand why people love the game. I have no problem with that. I feel like we always have this conversation, so we don't want to, like,
let's not belabor it.
Poo-poo other people's games, but, you know, it's not a thing for us. 16, though, this is definitely a game for us. Underwater Cities.
Yeah. Top 10, top 5, give or take, a little bit here and there.
I remember where mine ended up. It was number 38 for me.
Mine's much higher than that.
Oh, yeah, yours in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
Great game. One of the best Tableau builders out there.
Still
to with the worker placement.
Oh, yeah.
15 is Quacks of Quedlinburg.
I think this is on my top 100 list. It's bag building.
I believe so. Yeah, let me just check for you. Yeah, you got Quacks sitting here at number 64.
There you go. Quack it up, my brothers. I do not own all the fancy upgraded pieces. I feel ashamed for that.
That's like double the price of the game, though.
I know, but I feel ashamed because everyone who likes this game owns the pieces, and I'm the poor kid on the block who's just like, I have the cardboard tokens, and they laugh and point, and, you know.
Oh, yeah, but you used that money and bought two or three other games.
That is true.
Yeah. That is true. Number 14 is my number 10, Marvel Champions. It's the highest rated LCG from the listeners out there. It's the one I play the most as well.
To be fair, there's no more LCGs. This is it, sadly.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember that was a thing.
I know. They haven't done a competitive LCG forever.
I know.
Those died off a long time ago.
Which is really sad, because it kind of allowed tabletop gaming that was not a CCG to actually exist, right? Like, in a financial format.
The Netrunner community was amazing.
Yeah.
And it's been dead for a long time now. The Game of Thrones community was great.
Yeah. I used to watch videos about, like, people putting together decks and stuff.
That's so cool. And now you can't even find people to play with, let alone do anything with the cards.
Nope.
All right, moving on. We got number 13, Viticulture, another Stonemaier game. Stonemaier is, like, ruling this list.
Jamie is, like, number one fan, bro. Did you see the tattoo?
That's true.
Did you?
Oh my gosh, he's in here doing this.
I mean, he's got to be.
Jamie, we talked about this. It's not okay. I'm just kidding. He's not doing that. I'm going to get in trouble. No, Viticulture, though, this is, you know, it's a worker placement game. It's one of the core worker placement games at this point.
Sure.
Like, the Essential Edition with all the Tuscany stuff built in. It's fantastic. It's cute. It's clever. You have variable worker sizes and types.
Mamas and papas.
First game to really do that effectively.
Yeah,
it's great.
Cards are a little wacky, but other than that, it's great.
Number 12, this is another good old classic in a gateway game, Ticket to Ride.
Can I get my Pennsylvania Great Britain?
Yeah, that is the best one.
Yeah.
Still, there's been like four new map packs since then. This is still the best one.
Yeah.
So you've got the technology set and you've got the stock set. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. Number 11, Gloomhaven. What's this now? What is this game? What are we talking about?
I've heard whispers of this game. I think it's a small box dice rolling game. So
I almost want to just like, can we just retire this to the Hall of Fame so we don't have to talk about it anymore?
That might be a great idea.
I used to love it. It's a great game. I'm never going to play it again. And I'm like, it comes up every week.
It's the game that I've played the most that I have not loved. Mm. It's not a bad game at all. It's just very samey after, you know, 30 plus missions.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, I played it more than I've played a lot of other games. It's not even like I didn't get my time or money out of it. It's just, I'm done with it. I don't want to play it anymore.
Could you leave now?
Could just go, could man. Just it's go. Too much. 130 missions? What are we doing? What is this?
Yeah.
Number 10. Top 10 here, finally, for our listeners. Number 10 is Dune Imperium.
Perfect. Makes sense. Deck building, worker placement. Dune. Again, really surprised that Dune actually hit with the community as much as it did.
It helps that the game's really good.
Oh, sure.
The theme is great, but the gameplay is fantastic as well.
But it's, you know, sci-fi at the edge of sci-fi. It's,
yeah, that's true.
It's the most sci-fi of sci-fi that's ever been in, like, a mainstay movie, you know?
Yeah, I know. That movie making so much money, it's crazy.
Yeah.
There's a new show coming out this week, actually.
Oh, Dune that's Prophecy. Right. Yeah, Max.
Yeah. Number 9, Concordia.
Sure.
One of your favorites.
Matt Gaertz.
Yeah.
He went, you know, all his games were going one way, and he was like, no, I have something else. And it's significantly different and significantly awesome. And if you have not played it, you should. I mean, just the idea that, like, you're taking cards to play actions, but also those are your victory point engine. So smart.
Yeah. Yeah, the victory point thing is so good. Number 8, another Stonemaier game. Come on, Jamie.
I'm telling you.
Scythe here at number 8.
Yeah, this is still in my top 100 somewhere. It was higher at certain points. Rise of Fenris has kept it there. And it's, again, if you're going to play Scythe or you're going to buy Scythe, buy Rise of Fenris. Not even for the campaign situation, like just for the extra stuff that comes along with it.
Mm. Still haven't played Rise of Fenris, and therefore Scythe has fallen off my list. But I used to love it. I honestly, the last two times I played it, I was like, has I really kind of figured this game out? And I'm like, and I won by 80 and I won by 9. Okay, this is not okay.
Yeah, you got to play Fenris.
I got to mix this up so I can't just solve the game.
If anything, it gives you like a prelude expansion that comes with the game. Mm, so just that alone.
Just accelerate the beginning. That's a good
idea. And you can either play more Euro victory conditions or Marathresh. So that's also very nice.
That's good. Number 7, one of my top games, my number 4 is Root. Little woodland creatures fighting it out to the death.
Wow.
That's what it is. They're killing each other. That's what's happening.
You know, your kids play this game.
Yeah, and they know what's happening.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Root is fantastic. It's another Cole Whirly game, mm-hmm. and it's I got all of my little stuffies. I talked about this last week. Yeah. I don't need to go into it, but it's a fantastic one. So good choice, folks. Good choice.
Very much so.
Number 6, Lost Ruins of Arnak. So both of the worker placement deck building games made it to the list with Dune Imperium.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of fascinating. Those two games that came out in the heart of the pandemic that have both kind of exploded regardless. It's, you wouldn't expect it.
Great game, worker placement, deck building, and the expansions are 100% solid.
Yeah. Number 5, Terraforming Mars.
This is all
the timer here.
Is this all the terraformings or just the terraforming?
I separated them out. This is just the board game.
Makes sense. It is again, like we're talking about a lot of other games out there, the tableau builder.
Right.
It's eaten Seven Wonders lunch, to say the least.
Yeah, no, totally. I kept it on my list. I think we talked about this because you have Ares Expedition in there now. But it's, for me, it still hits. I still enjoy playing and I still pull it out every now and then. It's broken in a lot of ways, but it's still a lot of fun. Number 4, we mentioned Brass Lancashire before. This is Birmingham. And again, these were separate entries and I kept them separate. So a lot of votes for Brass in general.
That's fantastic. Great.
Number 3, Castles of Burgundy. I mentioned this at the top, special edition and regular, smushed. Same entry. But yeah, Stefan Feld's masterpiece game, the one everybody knows at least.
Yeah.
Not saying it's his best game, at least in our opinions, but it's the one everybody's played.
It's true.
Number 2, Spirit Island. Big, chunky, heavy, lots of stuff going on, cooperative game that somehow solves the issue of the alpha player.
Multiple expansions.
So many expansions.
And it,
too many expansions.
Way too many. I 100% agree. It reminds me a lot of Cosmic Encounter because it does have all those unique, gods or alien races. And it still has a still solid mechanic that people keep coming back to. And again, the ability to kind of, you know, make the board fit is just such an easy, smart idea that I'm surprised more people don't do. Two right. players, three players, you know, easily modulability. It's great.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. And the app is fantastic as well. It's a great way to experience it if you don't have the patience to set it up for yourself or a group to play with. And number one of all time, by a significant margin, a good almost 60 points. This one took the top spot, Ark Nova. So there you go, folks. People loving some Ark Nova. This game, I mean, it only came out, 2.5 years ago?
Yeah.
And it's just shot its way to the top. It's in the top 15, 20 on BoardGameGeek, top 10, I don't remember. But it's it mushes together the mechanics of a lot of other games from the top 10 here.
Yes.
And gives us a really interesting experience. You know, it's almost like the medium-heavy Euro version of Wingspan, but with, like, all the animals.
It's surprising it's here. I'm really glad that everyone's enjoying it so much and really getting a lot of, you know, mileage out of it. I think it also had a period where it was incredibly affordable for like a month or so. I think that might have helped as well. And for it to be the number one, bravo, my friends. Great job.
Yeah,
Ark Nova.
Yeah, it's on Board Game Arena. That helps.
Yeah.
I think they just announced an app for it too, which is going into early access next week or next month. So it's a lot of ways to play it that it certainly helps.
Have you played the Marine expansion?
Yeah, it doesn't really add any. Like, I didn't find it essential in any meaningful way. So I know a lot of people swear by it. I'm like, I don't know what this adds except more cards, and not a fan of that.
Sure. Okay. Well, there you go, everybody. Your top 100 of all time. Thank you all for participating, letting us know what your top 10 is. Hopefully this list helps guide you to new games, new purchases, new games to buy, play, absolutely not dodge, absolutely not burn, because these are amazing. These are the best games of all time. Again, thank you for listening to ours, and we love listening to you. So again, please hit us up on all the social medias, especially Facebook. Question of the Week will be coming back, because we'll be back on regular episodes. Obviously, the end of the season is going to be a lot of fun, different episodes coming up pretty soon. We'll have some buyer's guide for the holidays. We'll have our own BGA awards, and looking forward to next year, and especially PAX Unplugged that's coming up. So stay with us. Join us on patreon.com/BGA. Help us celebrate our number 500 episodes and 11 years. It means a lot to hear from you wherever you are. Definitely share the podcast out, YouTube channel, all that kind of fun stuff. But until next time, this is Chris.
And this is Anthony.
And we'll save you all a seat at the table. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Attention, everyone! Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture and bedding, cookware and holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair. Every style, every home. Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.